The following podcast is brought to you by the Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
I love that last phrase. May we realize that Tathagatas, I don't know why we say Tathagata, but the Tathagatas' true meaning, the true meaning, you know, of our lives, of life itself, of the suchness. So I hope you can find your home here and practice here during this retreat, for however long you're here, to really settle into the home that's in you. Of course, this is the very first day, first morning of our full retreat. And I just want to take a moment to thank those of you who have helped to organize this. You know, we don't have employees at the Village Zendo, so the team that came early and loaded the truck and the day before that packed the instruments and some people like Fugan, who has been working on this retreat since last December, bit by bit, speaking to the people, signing the contracts, confirming the deposits, and just detail after detail throughout the year, behind the scenes, from his Zendo in Massachusetts. He took care of that. So thank you, Fugan. And if you want to volunteer to do that, see me for next year. Also, I just want to say a word about Arshuso. Where are you? There you are. We congratulated her. That's kind of a bizarre old tradition that we have where the previous Shusos come and surround the new leader of the period of training, intensive period of training that we have, and we say, we congratulate you. Shuso, you may have heard her Dharma name is Gesho. Her ordinary name is Sal. She began practicing with us in 2012 and received the precepts in 2014. That's a good amount of time. Give it a couple of years to see if it feels like your home. And her Dharma name, Gesho, means moonlight. And I hoped that it would resonate with a kind of poetic and artistic mystery of the moon that we associate with the moon. And in this case, brilliantly illuminated by light. Yeah. She's an artist and a writer, so it made sense. And she displays those qualities in her work at the Zendo, which is much appreciated. And she is the one that selected Zen poetry for our Ango period. Ango means peaceful dwelling, and we do it twice a year. We pick 90 days and we say, we're going to really practice intensively for 90 days. So this is the beginning. This is the second day of our 90-day Ango. And as I said, we're going to be concentrating on the poetry of Ryokan, a mid-18th to 19th century Japanese poet. You'll be hearing a lot about Ryokan, I think, during this session, I hope. He was very wise and a wonderful poet and a rebel, like we all are at heart, or you wouldn't be here at this time. So we're here at Sesshin to stop and sit. And I see it as a time to relate to our innate wisdom that sometimes gets obscured. Sesshin actually means etymologically, gather the mind. So we're here to gather the mind. And I think at this time when we're all so distracted by our devices and by what's happening in our world, in the whole world, it's a good time to stop for some days and gather our minds. That way we can again affirm what our role is in the world, what we can give, what we can take. Ryokan wrote, out-breath and in-breath. Know that they are proof that the world is inexhaustible. Out-breath and in-breath. Know that they are proof that the world is inexhaustible. What do you think he means by that? Why do we see the world differently after meditation? I guess I'm asking a good group, because you've self-selected to spend this time in practice. Why do we see the world differently after meditation? How does it suddenly become inexhaustible in its possibilities? I think it's a miracle, the miracle of samadhi, the result of focus, attention, concentration. When we finally let go of that restless, cogitating, constantly frittering this way and that, we begin to appreciate the power of another quality that we have in our minds, the quality of samadhi that we can call up. You know, it's a very old word. It predates Buddhism by quite a bit, few years, thousands of years. It's in the Upanishads. Appears in the teachings of yoga and Jainism, Hinduism, Sikhism. It's not just our little Zen thing, samadhi. In Sanskrit, samadhi etymology carries this idea of bringing things together, or bringing together completely, which is often translated as one-pointedness, bringing everything to one point, a focus. Maybe even this early in Sesshin, you've had a little feeling of that. One-pointedness. Now, the Chinese translators very often would begin by translating just the sound that they heard from the Indian, and they translated samadhi as sanmai. Samadhi, sanmai. But then later, as would often happen, they would find a particular character that would work really well for samadhi. And in this case, it was ding. And we often translate ding as fixity. And the character shows a character for stop with a roof over it. So kind of emphasizing for me that kind of protective, immovable quality, the energy of stop And then there's a little roof over it to hold that stop, to stop the motion of our mind. You know, I know my mind is always racing. And I think that's why I took up this practice years ago, because I recognized that, how healthy it is for me to stop, to experience that fixity that the Chinese so beautifully expressed when they went to characters. So I hope you'll consider that right here we have a roof over our practice. We have one another. We have this extraordinary room. It's a safe space. It helps us stop the chatter. Feel the wood and the stone in your skin. Take a look at it later, at some time today. During Samu, I was noticing that the stonework is all different. All the pillars are very different. And you might want to look at that pattern. It's just amazing in this old building that is protecting us so that we can practice our samadhi. So typically samadhi is translated into English as concentration. To concentrate, you know, means literally to bring something to the center. Concentrate. Removing what's not needed. Focusing our attention on the center. We bring our mind to the center. We let the incidental thoughts drop away. We align and stabilize. We stop the scattering. We focus. So I call it a miracle. I call it a mitzvah. You know, if you're a New Yorker, you absorb Yiddish. It just comes in through the pores, and you can't help it. And I worked for at NYU with the director of my department. You know, I'd grown up in a Yiddish household, so it's just like in me. And I love the word mitzvah because it comes from the word commandment. And implies the good that arises out of commandment, the good that arises from that. It's a mitzvah. It's a goodness. And here we could look at samadhi in the same kind of way. Having two elements, the rule, the commandment, to sit still, to breathe quietly, to move as a community, to drop our thinking, to break the trance of me, 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 me. And then the good that arises from those commandments, of experiencing the joy, simple joy of samadhi, opening our hearts. The early translators always wanted to call it the mind, but really, I think it's the heart we're talking about. I think it's an occasion of astonishment and benefaction. Addled as we are by our electronic devices, our old stories, our desires and our dreams, It's a miracle to allow ourselves suddenly, simply, to be present. Breath in and breath out. To be absorbed by the spaciousness of the moment. To let the dross drop away. So please don't get carried away with the idea of what you're going to get out of it. Guess what? Nothing. Vast emptiness. So I've been inspired by the Avatamsaka Sutra, the jeweled net sutra, flower ornament. And there's a wonderful chapter in it about samadhi. And it talks about how bodhisattvas, so that would be us, awakening beings, how they enter into what is called every atom samadhi. Here's the verse. They enter concentration on one atom and accomplish concentration on all atoms. And yet that particle doesn't increase. In one are manifested inconceivable lands. So he's saying, when bodhisattvas enter samadhi, when we enter concentration, as we're doing now in this retreat, maybe even for a moment, or maybe a whole period, we're not just concentrated on one mind moment. But at the same time, we're concentrated on all moments. And yet, this moment doesn't increase. It is just as it is. So what it's saying is that, you know, we don't leave this retreat when we enter samadhi. We are concentrated on all moments. It says, of the many lands in that one atom, so they imagine many lands inside this one atom, some have Buddhas and some do not. Some are polluted, some are pure. Some are large, some are small. Some are forming, some are disintegrating. Some are upright, some are sideways. Sounds like my mind. Some are polluted, some are pure, some are large, some are small, some are forming, some are disintegrating, some are upright, some are sideways. A moment of your meditation. Just a moment of it. So sometimes every atom samadhi is a blessedness, and sometimes not so much. But the resilience rests when we're able to ride in that moment-to-moment flow as our awareness continues to move through atom and atom and atom. And thus, it says, you know, uses the metaphor of lands, but we're able to move through these lands. Sometimes upright, sometimes sideways. So it goes on, the sutra, to tell us that bodhisattvas, when they enter such a quality of meditation, they visit many lands and have spiritual powers. When in one atom, what in one atom is manifest in all atoms. This is the mystic power of concentration and liberation. Sounds exciting. It's kind of why I started practicing years ago. Oh, yes, the mystic power. It's kind of like the fantastic experiences we've read about. And you know, so many people really are seeking some big bang experience. Something that will endow them with wisdom and riches. But they often miss the real power of samadhi. They're chasing a dream and missing the reality. And of course, this is not a new situation. That's not unique to 21st century contemporary practice. There's an old koan in the Blue Cliff Record. Treats this particular issue. Yunmen, the great teacher, was asked by his disciple, what is this every atom samadhi? And Yunmen replied, rice in the bowl, water in the bucket. Rice in the bowl, water in the bucket. I imagine this circumstance. A Zen student, very sincere, wants to attain these wonderful spiritual and mystical powers. The ones that are described in the Avatamsaka Sutra. What is it? And in the context of the sutra, you know, you would expect the teacher to give a florid explanation of samadhi. Comets swirling, brilliant visions, riches and wisdom bestowed. But generously and kindly, old Yunmen says, rice in the bowl, water in the bucket. Plain. Ordinary. This life. Just like we're sitting here, and when I finish talking, the bell will ring. We'll get up and walk a little. Then we'll sit a little. Then we'll have some lunch. Very ordinary. But something is different. The samadhi that we are practicing here is not just about our own personal state of mind. But that mind is an integral part of the whole world right now. And actually, not even right now, but also the whole world in the past and in the future. Our samadhi is reflected in the meal we had for breakfast and the meal we'll have for lunch. By the coffee and tea that we drink. By the water that flows. You know, every year when I prepare to come up here, I read a little bit more about the Hudson River. I'm in love with the Hudson River. So it turns out that its origin, you know, isn't from a lake way far up in the Adirondacks called the Lake Tear of the Clouds. You see the clouds and then the tear, and it drops into that lake, and then it flows down the Adirondacks and then down the lower mountains and hills into our Hudson River and just flows right past us. And I strongly recommend you go out and take some time with that Hudson River in your samadhi during this retreat. Every atom samadhi is in the immigrant's backpack. It is in the judgment of the immigration officer. The cook's downstairs. The joy of a fresh morning like today. And that wonderful Hudson River. You know, when we truly allow ourselves to enter into this samadhi, which is what we agreed to do with ourselves, we enter into a world much more vast than we think it is. Every single bit of the universe can be illuminated for us. So Yunmen's food in the bowl nourishes the whole world. Water in the bucket stewards the planet, reminds us to steward the planet. Samadhi and daily life are just not two. We are here for whatever ostensible reason we might have, but really to free ourselves so that we can pay attention to our time in this world. So that we can heal that which requires healing. So all we have to do is really take good care of our samadhi over the next few days. It's worth your energy, your attention, your discipline. It's truly a blessing. Let me end with a gatha. Within the atom, a blessing. Within the blessing, your heart, my heart, the world can overflow with blessings.